message is called Making Habits, Breaking Habits. You know, making habits and breaking habits. You know, people are, we're creatures of habit. Like it or not, there are habits that you're forming in your life, and you're forming some good habits, and you're forming some habits that very well may not be healthy for you. They might be destructive habits. But I'll tell you something, it's what we do. It's how we work. We often create habits in our life. You know, one thing I remember about my father that was interesting is he had an incredible willpower that he could break bad habits. He used to smoke. And I've heard so many people talk about how it's difficult to break the habit of smoking because you got the chemical addiction and all this stuff going on with it. And one day he just decided to quit smoking, and that was it. He stopped smoking. Didn't seem like it bothered him. Didn't seem like he worried about it. You know, he wasn't all fidgety or anything. He just quit smoking one day. It was amazing. And I remember years later, you know, he was, I think he was 65 or something. He loved to eat, and he was eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. And of course, that habit sometimes has a bad effect on you, and he put on all this weight. Well, he had a heart attack. Look, it was just a small heart attack. And after that, he realized it was a wake-up call that he needed to change his habit. And again, just like that, overnight, he decided he was going to change this habit. And he developed a whole new habit, a way of eating, and he started to go out for a walk. And he walked like 1 mile, this like really fast, I guess you'd call it power walking or speed walking or something. You know, he didn't call it anything. He just went out there and walked like crazy, you know, for a mile. And he cut down on what he ate. And pretty soon he lost all this weight, and he did it just like that. It was just so easy for him, it seemed like. But some people, it's not easy to change habits, and it's not easy to develop new habits. And we really need to be working or understanding that we don't want to have the bad habits. We want to get rid of those, and we want to develop the healthy habits. If we can have healthy habits, and I think habits are good if we have healthy habits, I think they really, they create a framework for our life, and they really help us to move forward and accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish. I've been talking about 2016 and wanting to set new goals, setting goals beyond anything you can do, setting astronomical goals or incredible goals that only you and God can fulfill. Because if you use the supernatural power of God, you will fulfill those dreams. But it's going to require developing some good habits along the way. Because if you let the same habits that ran you last year run you this year, you're going to end up in the same place. You're going to end up in the same place. Let me read something to you because I find this pretty funny, but I also think it's pretty accurate for what we're talking about. I think you'll get a kick out of this. This is Paul. Paul the Apostle wrote this, and this is in Romans chapter 7. Listen carefully. I hope you're not too sleepy because you got to really pay attention to this one. This is it gets kind of complicated, but chapter 7 and verse 14, Paul speaking here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So he's got something he wants to do, something good he wants to do. But what he's finding is he's doing everything that's not good for him, and he doesn't understand. Why am I doing this? I don't get it. I know what I want to do. I know it's good for me. And yet, the only thing I'm doing is what's not good for me. Does this sound familiar? Have you gone through this sometimes in your life? In verse 19, for the good that I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I think another way you could say that is it's a habit. You know, there's some falsity in him, some false belief, some false idea that's making him do things he knows not good for me. That's not healthy for me, but he's still doing it. Now I find then that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. The inward man is your spiritual man, that spiritual part of yourself. He delights in what God is saying. What God says about his life, when he hears the plan that God has for him, when he says, this is where you're going, this is who you're going to become, he hears about that, his spirit gets excited. He's like, yeah, I love that. Woohoo! I want to do that. I want to go there. But then, but I see another law in my members, in his body, another law in his members, warring against the law of my mind, so against what his mind wants to do, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So something is imprisoning him and stopping him from doing what he wants to do. When he hears the plan of God and he gets excited, he wants to do that. He wants to become that. He wants to accomplish that in his life. He wants to have that dream. And yet something has bound him and is holding him prisoner so he can't do what he wants to do. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul still speaking, not me. Who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's already saying, I know how to get delivered from this. I know how to solve this problem. Here's the answer. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So here he has noticed an interesting problem. Paul sees where he wants to go. He knows what he wants to do. He has heard revelation from God telling him, this is who you can be. This is the dream. This is your destiny. This is where you're going. And Paul says, yes, I want to do that. And then when he goes, he can't find anything in him that will actually execute the plan. Even though he wants to do the plan, instead he ends up doing something else. He does something that's completely opposite what he wants to do. And this is what habits do with us. When we develop habits in our life, bad habits, quite often we set up a plan for what we want to accomplish for the coming year. I told you guys, write down a dream. Write down a dream so big that you can't accomplish it on your own, that you got to call on the supernatural power of God. And you said, yes, Ted, that's where I want to go. That's what I want to accomplish. Yes, that's who I am. And then, if we don't notice these bad habits, though, we're going to find that they're taking us back. They're taking us back to where we don't want to be. They're taking us back to do what we don't. We want to go over there. That's where I want to go. That's who I want to be. And yet the habits can make us just turn around automatically without even thinking about it, on autopilot. And at the end of the year of 2016, instead of accomplishing that goal, you'll find yourself over here where you were last year. And you'll be like, how did I get here? This isn't who I wanted to be. This isn't where I wanted to go. Paul has seen this same situation happening in his life. Now, I find it interesting Paul is saying this. Paul is the guy who basically took the gospel of Jesus out to the entire known world at that time. So obviously, he must have overcome this situation that he is seeing here. Something must have helped him to break out of this situation so he could become what God was leading him to be. Because this is the guy that did a lot of work in the kingdom of God. A lot of amazing work. So how do we do it? Because we need to change it. Now here, let's go down to Romans 12. He's already giving us a hint. Now, we had Romans 7 is where he's talking about the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I do want to do, you know, okay? That's Romans 7. But already down to Romans 12, he starts to give us a hint what we need to do. Now, let me go back. Remember last week I talked to you guys? I was talking about all this information about neuroscience and how the neuroscientists have discovered that our thoughts are impacting every cell of our being and our entire life. And that they said that 98 to 99% of all disease and all sickness is coming from our thoughts, from what we're thinking. If we have toxic thoughts of worry and fear, that this actually impacts directly the cells, and that those thoughts of fear and anger and worry and unforgiveness are impacting the cells at faster than the speed of light, and that this is what's making people sick. They even said that 98% of cancers are caused by these negative and toxic thoughts that we're having. And what the neuroscientists also said was that we were hardwired, our brain was hardwired for thoughts of love and peace. And that when we had thoughts of love and peace and forgiveness, that these thoughts brought our entire being, every cell of our being, into harmony and health, and that we functioned at the highest level, and that our wisdom improved, and that we didn't get sick. And I know that you guys probably said when you were leaving here last week, you said, I want that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Did you say that?
Yep.
Say amen to that then.
Amen.
You said, I want that. I want to have those positive thoughts of love and forgiveness. I want to have those thoughts of peace so that my body can be healthy. Remember I was saying that the neuroscientists also said that when we have those negative and toxic thoughts, we're actually causing brain damage?
Yeah.
So I know some of you said, oh, I don't want that. That's it. No more brain damage for me. I'm going to have positive thoughts, right? And you left here, and then you probably got out there during the week, and suddenly you caught yourself worrying about something. And you went, oh, I'm causing brain damage. And then you caught yourself being angry about something, maybe a car on the road, or your boss, or the coworker. And then you caught yourself being afraid of something. And all these wrong kind of thoughts and emotions were going on that you knew were doing negative impact onto your body. And you said, I said I wasn't going to do that. And you're now finding yourself in the same situation that Paul is. You said, I'm not going to do that. And then you find yourself right back there doing what you said you weren't going to do. Right? Can you relate to that? Yeah, I bet some of you had that this week. I had that this week because I walked out of here with you guys saying, yeah, I'm not going to have that. No more brain damage for me. And the cool thing was, remember what the neuroscientist said? That when we have those thoughts of love and peace, that our brain actually heals. So whatever damage we did, it's okay. It can be corrected. We just got to get ourselves over to thinking those thoughts of peacefulness and love. But if we got a habit of thinking toxic things and speaking toxic things and doing toxic things, and we know it's impacting our physical body, all those diseases are caused mostly, I mean, only 1% or 2% of them are caused by something outside of what I'm thinking. You could be healthy. You could be healthy with no reason, no excuse whatsoever. And it's just a matter of having the right thoughts. How do we do it? I need to break the bad habits, and I need to make good habits. Here's what Paul gives us a clue to in Romans 12. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can renew your mind. You can change your mind. You can change the way your mind works. And if you change the way your mind works, then you're going to be thinking different things. That means when you were here last week and you said, that's it, no more toxic thoughts for me. I'm only going to be thinking thoughts of love and peace. When you said that, totally the power is there to change it, to renew your mind, to make it something different, so that now you can have those thoughts. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, check this out. How are we going to do that? Might be your next question. How am I going to do that? Listen to this here. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, listen to what it says. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. What it's talking about here is that in the scripture, God's word, those words can do something amazing. These neuroscientists that I was talking about, they were testing brains. And they were testing brains to see how they reacted. And they had people meditating on peace and love. And they had people meditating on nothing. And they had people, you know, and they were checking their brains to see what happened. You know what they found? They found that when people meditated on the Word of God, something amazing happened in their brain. More so than when they were meditating on peace. More so than when they were meditating on nothing. When they meditated on the words of God, they entered this incredible state where now their brain began to function at the highest possible level that they could register on the machine. And it impacted every cell of their being. They found, and this is what, excuse me, God's been saying. He is saying that his word, which is truth, that when we meditate on the truth, it can go in, and it now, it's like a surgical scalpel, that the truth can come in, cut out, remove the bad habits, remove the negative and toxic thoughts, cut them out of our minds, and at the same time, transplant in the truth, which is the light. Transplant in the thoughts of love and goodness, because remember, God is love. So his words would be loving words, and they would bring loving thoughts. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we can actually do surgery. We can do brain surgery using the word of God. And that's how we can renew our minds. See, when we first become, we start believing in God, and we invite Jesus into our heart, we get a new spirit. We have a new spirit, but we have an old soul. And the old soul, part of the soul, is including our mind. And our mind can carry all those old thoughts and those old beliefs and those old ideas. And we have to go through a period where we go through something called regeneration. We need to be regenerated, renewed, transformed. And that's done through the Word of God. A lot of times people don't do that. They just keep believing God, but they don't take the time to let their body be regenerated, their soul to be regenerated, so they now can have not only a new spirit, but a new soul. So it's on a new level. But this is what the power of the Word of God is, that it can do surgery, brain surgery, and remove all those negative habits and thoughts that we have. They can be cut out, and now something new can be implanted in it. Now listen to this. Let's go down here. In Matthew, Jesus is talking and he says, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Evil, we can just say, is things that we're doing that is causing destruction. We can say bad habits again if we want to, right? So negative things that we're doing that are causing us harm that we don't want to do. And he says, how can we bring forth good things? It's based on the abundance of our heart. What's in our heart? Now, our mind and our hearts can be interchanged because what is in our heart, you know, that's what we're thinking about. That's what's determining what we're saying. So what do we have in our hearts? We want to have love in our hearts. We want to have those loving thoughts in our hearts because that's going to bring the most health, the most impact to our lives and to our health so that we can be strong and renewed. So that's what we want to have in our hearts, because you can't produce something good in your life if your heart is full of darkness. You've got to have light in there. You've got to have truth in there, because you can only produce what's in there. And that's what's going to come out of your mouth. You can often identify what is in my mind or how is my mind by what you're saying. If you're saying negative things all the time, if you're gossiping, if you're complaining, then you already know what's in your heart. Because that you can only speak out of the abundance of your heart. Now, what can you produce in your life? What kind of life are you going to produce if all you're speaking about is negative things and that's what's in your heart? You're only going to produce negative things. But the good news is we can change that. That's why I'm talking about developing good habits and breaking bad habits. Because it can all be changed. And it can all be changed very easily. And I want to lay out something for you today that shows you it doesn't have to take forever. It doesn't have to take a lifetime. In fact, you'll find it only takes a few days. That you can change and get rid of the bad habits and get in the good habits so that you can begin to produce, have an abundance of good in your heart. And now you'll begin to produce the good things you want. You'll begin to say about the good things you want. And you won't be turned back to the way things were yesterday, but you will get to your destiny of your dream of what God had said you can do. You will reach your goal and accomplish what you want to accomplish. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So, this is interesting too about the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that we're going to do this transformation. That is the scalpel of God. And it was designed this way. This is the plan of God. God knew that you were going to have some problems and develop some bad habits. He already knew that. But he created a plan that we could renew our mind, that we could be regenerated through his word. That's why he gave us the word. And it's like a scalpel that comes in and cuts out. It separates between the darkness and the light. And it can pull out all that stuff that's causing us confusion and problems. And now it implants so that we can really get to where we need to go. So God knew that in the beginning. And he gave us this plan. In John 6:63 it says, this is talking about the word of God, and this is Jesus speaking, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So if we want to have a great life, a life of abundance beyond all things, we need to be filled with those words of life, the words of the Spirit. Remember, our body does not accomplish anything without the Spirit. Our body can't live for even 1 second without the Spirit. We need to have that Spirit. And Jesus is saying, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Meaning we can receive an infusion, an injection of the Spirit through his word, which will give us life, and it will lift us up to accomplish and fulfill that life of blessings and prosperity that God has promised us, a life of health and goodness. All right, let's take a look here. We're getting close to, I'm going to lay it out for you. Get your pens and paper ready too, or your cell phone, because you're going to want to write this down so you can get this. Now, God has given us a recipe for success. Listen to this. The recipe for success, and this is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He talks about this. See, what these neuroscientists had learned was something that God was saying all along hundreds of years ago. What they saw on their scans when people were meditating on the Word of God, they saw how the people entered this incredible state. Beyond just meditating on nothing or meditating on peace, when they meditated on the Word of God, they saw their entire being and brain affected. God's been talking about this all along. He says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, This book of the law, that's his word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. He's already given us the recipe. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Would you like to have a prosperous way? Would you like to be successful in everything you do? The recipe's right here. This is the recipe for success. And he says if we put his word in front of our face, in front of our eyes, and we meditate on it, that this prosperity and this success will begin to come. Because that will now be what we have in the abundance of our heart. And now everything we think will not be negative and toxic and killing our bodies and killing our life. But we will have the words of life, the words of spirit that we are now thinking, that we are now speaking. And as a result of that, we will have exactly what he's talking about here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. For then, he talked about meditating on it day and night, keeping it in front of your face. And then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Amen. If you don't feel like you're being successful or you're prospering, we already see how we can change that around very easily. It can be changed just by meditating on the Word of God. Here's another place in the Bible that God was giving us this prescription. He is doling out a prescription. How are you going to change your life? Here's what you can do. He knows we've got this problem that we develop bad habits and they can get so ingrained in us that it just keeps turning us back and we keep ending up at the same place even though we want to go here. The things we will to do, we don't do. But the things we don't will to do, we end up doing. As Paul was talking about. And yet, God has given us a prescription to get out of it. Here he says, in Proverbs, this is Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." If you want good health, Keep the word of God before your face. Let it come in your ears. Let it come in your eyes. You want good health. There's the recipe for health right there. Same things the neuroscientists found out that I've been talking about. They found out if you want good health, you need to have those loving thoughts. And then they discovered when you meditate on the word of God that that produced the most of that right brain, that gamma brain waves that were producing all those good feelings and getting everything to work in harmony. And they found that it was right there. And this is the same. See, this is why God's word is called his truth. It was right all along. The scientists are finally catching up with what he said. And they're realizing that's true. All right. Now, we need to change our brains. We need to renew our minds. How are we going to do it? We know the word of God can do it. I want to give you a framework today, though, so that you can start to use the words of God and apply them in a systematic manner so that those habits that we have, the old habits, will be cut out and new habits will be developed in. So let's talk about how we develop a habit. You might want to pull out your notepad so you can make a few notes on this, because developing these good habits is what is going to change the way you're thinking, because you're going to start to get the words of God now in your heart and in your mind. So automatically, if it's a habit, automatically now you can have those loving thoughts. You found out this week when you were trying to have positive thoughts, right? Some of you experienced this. You said, okay, no more thoughts of worry, no more thoughts of anger, no more thoughts of fear, right? You said, that's it, Ted. And you walked out of here and then suddenly you went, oh my God, I'm thinking all that stuff. But we can make it a habit so it's automatic that you're now thinking the words of love, that you're thinking the words of peace, that you're thinking the words of life. Remember, that's what Jesus said. My words are spirit. My words are life. We can get that in there automatic. So now it just comes out. And that means because it's going to be in your heart, because if it's a habit, now it's going to be automatic in your heart. It's going to make it easier that you're automatically going to say the words of life, which are the words of faith. How many times have I talked about the words of faith? And if you speak words of faith, that's when miracles happen. When you release that faith by words, that's when we suddenly see something manifest, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when we're hoping for something, when we have that faith and we speak the words of faith, now it manifests in our life. So it'll be automatic. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say automatic.
Automatic.
I mean, wouldn't that be great to have it automatic? Because you've been trying to do it on your own and sometimes it's really hard. You know, when there's that old habit in there, it's really hard. So let's take a look at how we make this a habit. I want you to write down. Now, here's something to know. A lot of times you come in, you hear me quote different scriptures, you hear a message, you get excited about it. You say, yes, I want that, right? But the thing is, in 24 to 48 hours, if you haven't done anything with that, if you just said, wow, that was a cool message, and you walk out of here, in 24 to 48 hours, poof, that memory of that, it just goes up in smoke. It just becomes hot air. It doesn't even form a short-term memory if you just heard me speak that one week and you walked out. That's not even a short-term memory that's been formed. You know, it is a short term, but it's only for 24 to 40 hours, very short term. And then it's gone. It won't change your life. You can't get any benefits out of that. It doesn't make a difference when that's the way it is. So we got to do more. And that's why I've been encouraging you guys, you know, after we hear a message, when we go to the office or something, begin to talk to other people about some of the stuff you thought about or you received. Because now you're going to work it a little bit more than just that one thought. It's going to get a little bit more exercise. And that's important. So that's not going to help just having that one memory. You need to do more than that. Now here's something interesting. Here's how we create a long-term memory. For at least 7 minutes a day, for 21 days, if we go over that same scripture, for 21 days, 7 minutes a day, you start to get that scripture in. Now, why am I talking about the scripture? Because remember, I said those are the words of life. That's the scalpel that's going to remove the bad habit. As you're putting the truth in, It's going to start to cut out the bad habits and the bad thoughts as we're putting it in. But it takes 21 days, 7 minutes a day, to get that long-term memory in there. Now it becomes a long-term memory. That means whatever God has said, if you've instilled it for those 21 days, for 7 minutes a day, now you've got a long-term memory. But that means it's not going to just go up in smoke if you don't use it. It's still going to be there. And it's still going to be producing the words of life. It's still going to be producing spirit power. Okay? But it hasn't become a habit yet. It's not a habit. It's just a long-term memory. It's just a memory. A good way to think about that is, do you feel full after you remember how good your lunch was? No, it's just a memory of lunch. But it doesn't fill me up. I can remember how great that Christmas dinner was. Am I going to get as much nutrients out of that, though, as if I went and had lunch? No. It's just the memory. But it's good to have the memory, because now we've got something. So we've got to do something more. We have to go an additional time. We need to apply for another 42 days. So write down, 42 days. So you've already done 21 days, 7 minutes a day working on that scripture in order to get it being a long-term memory. Now you need another 42 days. Now after the 42 days, it'll have been a total of 63 days. Now what you need to do for the 42 days, though, you need to be talking about the scripture. You need to think about the scripture, talk about it. You need to meditate on it. You need to get revelation on it. You need to read it. So for another 42 days, you need to be working this scripture over. Talk to somebody about it. Talk about the revelation you had. Talk about what God said. Talk about how it's working in your life. Read about it. Meditate on it. Get some more revelation. Talk to God about it. Now, you just have to do that. You don't have to do that seven minutes even. You have to just do it seven times. Touch on that scripture seven times during the day, during that 42-day period. Seven times. So seven times you should think about it, read about, you know, just read about it once, just once. Think about it or read about it or talk about it, discuss it with somebody, get some more revelation on it for another 42 days. After those 63 days, right, 21 days where you spent 7 minutes a day, you've created a long-term memory, and now 42 more days, you start working that over, talking to people, discussing it. It's a total of 63 days. What's happened now is you've created something called a habit. It has become a habit in you now. That means it's now in your heart. And it now means it's automatic. Now you have automatically the words of spirit, the words of life that are going to be flowing out of you. And you want to speak the words of life, suddenly it becomes easy because it's automatic. It's already built in. This works for every single situation in your life, every single circumstance. Here's what we can do. I already talked to you about how if you have sickness, we read this one scripture here. It says, for they are life. He's talking about his words. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. If you have sickness or disease or you want to heal from something, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it's called, you can go in and find the scriptures in God's word that talk about health, that talk about healing. You can get yourself on a program for 63 days where first you create a long-term memory of those verses and then you begin to get more insight and discuss them. And what God is saying, and he's making it, remember, whatever he says in his word is a promise. If it's a promise, it's a guarantee. He said, this is how we receive healing. He said, this works. And the neuroscientists have backed it up. They said, we're getting sick because of the wrong thoughts. But if we get the thoughts of life in there, we're going to be healed. The neuroscientist said everything can be healed if we have the right thoughts. Our brain can be healed. Our body is healed. And in fact, they even started doing therapies based on their research, which you can talk to people that have been going to church and meditating on scriptures. You can find out the research they've done because they've received healing too. So what I'm saying is whatever problem in your life that you're working with, you got a problem with your kids, you go, you find the scriptures that talk about parents and kids and what God said about it, and now you begin to meditate on that. You first read it for 7 days, you take 7 minutes and you read it, and you get in there, make a long-term memory, and then for 42 more days you start talking about it with your friends and your partners, and guess what? You've just built in a parenting system that becomes automatic. If you're sick, you get the scriptures that talk about healing and about, you know, health. And now again, after 63 days, you built in a healing system. If it's prosperity or success that you need in your life, remember what I read here. It says here in Joshua 1:8, this is what God gave this prescription to Joshua hundreds of years ago. He gave him a prescription, a recipe for success. And he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and then you may observe to do according to that that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So all you have to do now is go through the Word of God, get the verses where he's talking about success, where he's talking about being blessed, where he's talking about being increased. Read those for 7 days, for 7 minutes. Create a long-term memory. Then for another 42 days, begin to get revelation. Talk about them with friends. Meditate on them. Read them. You know, just seven times during a day, during those 42 days, and you'll have created a habit. And now, what is that habit? That's a habit of success. It's a habit of prosperity you've created in your life. Or if you were meditating on health, now you've created a habit of health. Do you understand that? Say amen to that.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, what I'm laying out for you today is, we set goals at the beginning of the year that we're going to go and we're going to achieve what God has said. We're going to reach to the highest level. We're not going to let the bad habits turn us back. Because what's happening as we use the Word of God and we read it for those first 21 days, it is cutting away at the bad habits. It's cutting them out. At the same time as laying a foundation now for the good habit to come in so that we can reach to that top pinnacle. It's all laid out right there in what God is saying. And he's been telling people this for thousands of years. He's been telling them to do the same thing. Today I'm laying it out for you in a very systematic way so that you can go home and you can start to apply it. It's going to change everything. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to renew your mind. It's going to change your heart. It's going to change what's in there. Remember, it's coming out of the abundance of your heart. You're suddenly going to be speaking words of success or words of health or words of life. And that will change how you're acting. It'll change how you're feeling. It'll change what you're seeing. It'll change what you're manifesting in your life. It will change everything. And then you'll have the blessings and the prosperity that God promised you. And it will be automatic because you built it in on the inside. Do you understand that? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. This is what we're going to be applying over the next... Well, I'm hoping you're applying it for a long time. But over the next few weeks, we're going to focus a little bit more on this because we want to ingrain in us the habits for success, the habits for health, the habits for prosperity, the habits for a great life, so that we're not like Paul was. See, Paul turned his life around. In Romans 7, he talks about how he goes back and forth. I want to do this, but I don't do that. I end up doing what I don't want to do. I don't know what I'm doing. What's wrong with me? You know, and we feel like that sometimes. And yet, he now reveals to us what the recipe is of how to change that we can renew our minds. And we're meant to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. And by meditating on his word, it will change us. Just like Paul. There's no way he can go to every single country that's known at that time and spread the word of God and start churches all over the place and have such success healing people, touching people, and they're getting healed. He's raising people from the dead. They're sending out pieces of cloth from him that they take to somebody who's sick and they're healed from it. There's no way he could do that if he was still in this mindset of, you know, I can't do it. I don't know. I want to do it. He's changed. He's been renewed. He's been reformed. The same thing will happen with you. The same thing will happen with you.